lion! You're a lion! It must be a dream. It must. It must. Oh, I'll wake up in a moment.
The lion rose to its feet and without a glance at Jill, gave one last blow. Then, as if satisfied with its work, it turned and stalked slowly away back into the forest.
I do wish we'd never come to this dreadful place. I don't believe Eustace knew any more about it than I do. Or if he did, he had no business to bring me here without warning me what it was like. It's not my fault he fell over that cliff. If he'd left me alone, we would both be all right now. Oh, Eustace.
Crying is all right in its way while it lasts. But you have to stop sooner or later, and then you still have to decide what to do. When Jill stopped, she found she was dreadfully thirsty. She'd been lying face downward, but now she sat up. She listened carefully and felt almost sure she heard the sound of running water. There was no sign of the lion, though there were so many trees it might easily be quite close without her seeing it. But her thirst was very bad now, and she plucked up the courage to go and look for that running water. She went on tiptoes, stealing cautiously from tree to tree and stopping to look round her at every step. Jill eventually came to an open glade and saw the stream, bright as glass, running across the turf a stone's throw away from her. But although the sight of the water made her feel 10 times thirstier than before, she didn't rush forward and drink. She stood as still as if she'd been turned into stone, with her mouth wide open. And she had a very good reason. Just on this side of the stream lay the lion, with its head raised and its 2 forepaws out in front of it. She knew at once that it had seen her, for its eyes looked straight into hers for a moment and then turned away, as if it knew her quite well and didn't think much of her.
If you're thirsty, you may drink. If you're thirsty, come and drink. Are you not thirsty?
I'm dying of thirst.
Then drink.
May I? Could I? Would you mind going away while I do? All right. Do you promise not to do anything to me if I do come?
I make no promise.
Then, oh dear, I mean, I'm so thirsty, you see. And do you eat girls?
Oh, I've swallowed up girls and boys, women and men, kings and emperors, cities and realms.
I daren't come and drink.
Then you will die of thirst.
Oh dear. I suppose I must go and look for another stream then.
There is no other stream.
It never occurred to Jill to disbelieve the lion. No one who'd seen his stern face could do that. And her mind suddenly made itself up. It was the worst thing she ever had to do. But she went forward to the stream, knelt down, and began scooping up water in her hand. It was the coldest, most refreshing water she'd ever tasted. You didn't need to drink much of it, for it quenched your thirst at once. Before she tasted it, she'd been intending to make a dash away from the lion the moment she'd finished. Now, she realized, this would be, on the whole, the most dangerous thing of all. She got up and stood there, with her lips still wet from drinking.
Come here.
And she had to. She was almost between its front paws now, looking straight into its face. But she couldn't stand that for long. She lowered her eyes.
Human child, where is the boy?
He fell over the cliff, sir.
How did he come to do that, human child?
He was trying to stop me from falling, sir.
Why were you so near the edge, human child?
I was showing off, sir.
That is a very good answer, human child. Do so no more. And now the boy is safe. I have blown him to Narnia, but your task will be the harder because of what you have done.
What task, sir?
The task for which I called you and him here, out of your own world. Speak your thought, human child.
I was wondering, could there be some mistake? Because nobody called me and Eustace, you know. It was we who asked to come here. Eustace said we were to call to somebody. It was a name I wouldn't know. And perhaps a somebody would let us in. And we did. And then we found the door open.
You would not have called to me unless I had been calling to you.
Then you were the somebody, sir.
I am. And now hear your task. Far from here in the land of Narnia, there lives an aged king who is sad because he has no prince of his blood to be king after him. He has no heir because his only son was stolen from him many years ago. And no one in Narnia knows where that prince went or whether he is still alive. But he is. I lay on you this command, that you seek this lost prince until either you have found him and brought him to his father's house, or else died in the attempt, or else gone back into your own world.
But how, please?
I will tell you, child. These are the signs by which I will guide you in your quest. First, as soon as the boy Eustace sets foot in Narnia, he will meet an old and dear friend. He must greet that friend at once. If he does, you will both have good help. Second, you must journey out of Narnia to the north, till you come to the ruined city of the ancient giants. Third, you shall find a writing on a stone in that ruined city, and you must do what the writing tells you. Fourth, you will know the lost prince, if you find him, by this, that he will be the first person you have met in your travels who will ask you to do something in my name. In the name of Aslan.
I see.
Child, perhaps you do not see quite as well as you think. But the first step is to remember. Repeat to me, in order, the four signs.
Oh, well. The first sign is that we'll go to a city of ancient giants. No, that's not right.
No, child. It is important for you to remember them as I've said them. Try again.
Jill tried again and still didn't get them quite right. So the lion corrected her and made her repeat them again and again till she could say them perfectly. He was very patient over this, so that when it was done, Jill plucked up the courage to ask him,
Sir, how am I to get to Narnia?
On my breath.
Oh.
I will blow you into the west of the world, as I blew Eustace.
Shall I catch him in time to tell him the first sign?
You will have no time to spare. That is why I must send you at once. Come, walk before me to the edge of the cliff.
Sir, I realize now that if I hadn't made such a fool of myself, Eustace and I would have been going together, and he'd have heard all the instructions as well as me.
It was very alarming walking back to the edge of the cliff, especially as the lion did not walk with her but behind her, making no noise on his soft paws. Long before she'd got anywhere near the edge, the lion said,
"Stand still. In a moment I will blow. But first, remember, remember, remember the signs. Say them to yourself when you wake in the morning, and when you lie down at night, and when you wake in the middle of the night. And whatever strange things may happen to you, let nothing turn your mind from following the signs. And second, I give you a warning. Here on the mountain I have spoken to you clearly. I will not often do so down in Narnia. Here on the mountain the air is clear and your mind is clear. As you drop down into Narnia, the air will thicken. Take great care that it does not confuse your mind. And the signs which you have learned here will not look at all as you expect them to look when you meet them there. That is why it is important to know them by heart and pay no attention to appearances. Remember the signs and believe the signs. Nothing else matters. And now, daughter of Eve, farewell.
The voice had been growing softer towards the end of this speech, and now it faded away altogether. Jill looked behind her. To her astonishment, she saw the cliff already more than 100 yards behind her, and the lion himself, a speck of bright gold on the edge of it. She'd been setting her teeth and clenching her fists for a terrible blast of lion's breath. But the breath had really been so gentle that she hadn't even noticed the moment at which she left the earth. And now there was nothing but air for thousands upon thousands of feet below her. Jill felt frightened only for a second. For one thing, the world beneath her was so very far away that it seemed to have nothing to do with her. For another, floating on the breath of the lion was so extremely comforting. If Jill had ever been in a balloon, she might have thought it like that, only better.